Hey, welcome back to Iron and Muna. Kudos for sticking it out. You know that the more you listen to these, the more you exercise that Emuna muscle, and the more easily you'll be able to slip into the right mind frame as you go about your day, as things happen to you, as life happens. So let's jump right in. We know that when we have the right frame of mind, real clarity, we know that we're completely reliant on Hashem for everything, and that everything that happens down here is because he's running the show. We know. But obviously, it's really hard to have that clarity all the time. But that's exactly the challenge. And that is exactly what Hashem wanted to teach the Jewish nation as soon as we came out of Mitzrayim, or Egypt. He was about to give us his Torah, binding us to him and binding himself to us. So what had to be the next step then? After leaving Mitzrayim, but before receiving his Torah, what was needed at that time? It was to show the nation that he is taking care of them, down to the last detail, and that he is ours and that we are his. And our job is to recognize that and to call on him when we need help. Because they already knew then that God is there and that he's running the show. They witnessed the 10 Makos that completely defied nature, and the fact that they were able to leave Mitzrayim, which had its borders tightly sealed shut. They understood clearly that was God's hand, defying nature the entire way through. But what some of them were missing and needed refining was their belief in that he was their personal God as well, and that he is requesting a very personal relationship with each and every one of them. And this is foundational. This was the first lesson that we needed to learn in our infancy of being the chosen nation. Also, just remember, this generation was approximately 80 generations ago. That's it. It's really not so, it's not so long in the grand scheme of things. Now, let's quickly go through the events that occurred where Hashem was driving this point home. It's all in Parshas Bishalach, right after they leave Mitzrayim. Now, try to imagine this as yourself. It's just more powerful that way. So you leave slavery and suffering in Mitzrayim behind, and you are now traveling with your family and about 600,000 relatives, aunts, uncles, cousins. You know that you're traveling to Har Sinai, where there's going to be a huge ceremony, and Hashem will be giving you the Torah. And you're now standing at the edge of the Yam Suf, and the Egyptians are advancing behind you with their war horses and chariots full of weapons. The nation was very worried, and they doubted that Hashem would be there for them. One man was able to see clearly, Nachshon ben Aminadav. He wasn't worried. He understood the assignment. Hashem said, travel to Har Sinai. This was a godly assignment, and nothing would stand in his way. He went into the water. And then you know what happened. Hashem then instructed Moshe to lift his staff over the water. The sea split and the nation walked on dry land on the ocean floor. And then he killed all of the Egyptians and fought the war for them. They didn't have to lift a finger. He was just asking for trust. And Hashem waited until he got that trust. Okay, what's next? They came to Mara, and there was no water to drink. This was their next test in Emunah boot camp. They complained to Moshe instead of asking him to daven for them. What was Hashem wanting here? Just trust. Trust that he is taking care of them. Okay, next, they ran out of food. Again, they complained. Hashem just wanted reliance and trust. Why do you think he didn't just give them the man and the water as soon as they ran out of food? He wanted them to turn to him. Anyway, what did he give them? Heavenly food that fell from the sky every single day and turned out to be the exact portion of what they needed for their families and had the exact nutrition profile that their bodies required to be healthy. And they weren't allowed to take more than a day's portion. It would turn wormy and moldy if they did. The Zohar says that this was to drive the point home even further. As part of this Emunah and Bitachon boot camp, they had to rely on Hashem to bring this man every single day, which he said he would. It really would have been counterproductive to put some aside for the next day because that would undermine the reliance on Hashem. Okay, next, they traveled to Rephidim. Again, no water. Again, a number of them doubted that Hashem was with them and complained to Moshe yet again. Then Hashem made it so that water came out of a rock for them in a flowing stream for whenever they needed. But the Parsha goes on to talk about the doubt that they had when they said, "Is Hashem really among us or not?" They really doubted if Hashem cared about them personally. After he took them out of Egypt, split the sea for them, gave them heavenly perfect food, water, and protecting them with the Ananei HaKavod, the clouds of glory, from the dangers of the desert, it should have been clear to everyone there, but it wasn't. And at this point, doubting if God was mindful and if he cared called for a drastic response. You've heard the phrase, "There are no atheists in a foxhole." He sent them a situation where they were forced to turn to Hashem and to rely on him only. He sent them the nation of Amalek to come and fight with them. Now, you know that everything that happens in the world is just a physical manifestation of what is happening in the spiritual world. It all happens there first. This is how life works. So because there was an inner doubt of Hashem's presence and care for the nation of Amalek's physical attack was the outer manifestation of that. The gematria, the numerical value of the word Amalek, is 240, which is the same gematria for the word safek, doubt. And we know that when we have two words that have the same numerical value, they are deeply connected. It's part of the divine brilliance of Torah. So the people doubted Hashem's involvement in their lives when they said, "Is Hashem present among us or not?" The lesson is clear. And here's the thing. If you believe that Torah is true, then you believe that all of Torah is true. And that means that this relationship that he wanted back then from us is the same type of relationship that he wants with you today. It says Bris Olam 24 times in the Torah. Bris Olam. An everlasting covenant that Hashem will never change his mind, that he will never leave us, and that Torah and Yiddishkeit are true forever, and that we are bound to him forever, and he is bound to us. Have a great day.